Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to WBEST broadcasting live from Chula Vista, California, the Stogies and Beer Radio Show. Welcome, good morning. This is your host, Ramiro Ferran, aka the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stogies and Beer Radio Show. Stogies and Beer can be heard most Mondays through Thursdays, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific time. And if you want to call into the show, the guest call-in number is going to be 515-602-9687. Again, the guest call-in number is 515-602-9687. Again, good morning to everybody tuning in to the Stogies and Beer Radio Show. Stogies and Beer is the official platform for the professional armchair quarterback to call in and boast his or her bold opinions about anything sports-related. We talk about a lot of NFL. This is a football talk show. We talk a lot about the NCAA football. This is a football talk show. We talk a lot about NBA, the Major League Baseball, so definitely the three big major sports in the United States. But we talk about anything as far as badminton, polo, dog racing, camel racing, pie eating contest, hot dog eating contest, whatever they cover on ESPN, any of those weird sports, you can call into the show and talk to us about it. If we don't know much about your show, you can talk to us about it and teach us about your sport. If you don't know about the sports that we're talking about, we'll be happy to let you listen in, and we'll teach you about the sport that we're talking about. The show is also has a educational platform where we'd like to teach a lot of the soon-to-be undrafted free agents coming out of college this NFL draft season, NBA draft season, Major League Baseball draft season. We like to educate soon-to-be street free agent athletes about what their journey is going to look like after college, trying to keep attaining film to be a part of a professional organization at some level on their route to the National Football League and all other sports at the highest level that they're trying to attain. So this show is not just here to I'll put it like this. This show is not designed to entertain. This show is designed to educate. But at the same time, there is an entertainment value in it where we do allow people to call into the show. And we'll banter back and forth about sports topics, all the topics that come across the monitor this morning. Like this morning we're looking at is Jalen Hurts having a breakout season? Or is Tua Tagovailoa having the best breakout season? So they're trying to see who's having the best breakout season this year between Jalen Hurts and Tua Tagovailoa. And if my memory serves me correctly, both of them are Alabama quarterbacks, Alabama alums. And I know for a fact that Tua won the Heisman. I can't remember if Jalen Hurts won it. I think he got beat out by somebody when he was going up for it. But you could definitely call in and correct me if I'm wrong. However, those guys are having a great season. We also have a segment on the show called Featured Street Free Agent Athlete Spotlight, where we'll invite a current street free agent that's playing minor league sports at whatever sport they're playing, and we have them call into the show and talk about their journey coming from high school, college to pro, just to educate high school kids on what they need to do to go to the best college they can get to. And college kids going into their draft year, we try to get these athletes to talk about their journey so they can, you know, so the athletes that's coming out can be better prepared for the journey that they're about to take. Because what a lot of people don't understand is trying to get film to play ball at the trying to get film to play sports at the highest level to get that bag, as they say. Everybody wants that bag, but some of you are not going to be able to get that bag on the first crack. You're going to have to go through these different steps, different twists and turns to keep trying to get film. If you're willing to take the journey, you're bettering your odds of getting that bag. You're bettering your odds of getting that check, that life-changing check that the NFL can afford someone. So we're going to have this morning, supposed to be having my one of my clients under management services, Grant eBay. He is going to be coming in to talk about his journey. Grant eBay came to me trying to get into an NFL-sanctioned event called HUB. Capital H-U-B, and that's ran by Don Yee, which if you don't know, that is the great Tom Brady's agent, Don Yee. He does a camp called Hub Camp, trying to get a lot of free agents a look to get on the team to keep attaining film or to get an opportunity to go into the CFL, the NFL, XFL, what have you, USFL. So they do a pretty good job at Hub Camp. So Grant eBay, he called me a while back, and he wanted to get into that. We got him going with that, and then we got him onto a good team in the Indoor Football League, which is the Tucson Sugar Skulls, and he'll talk to you about that a little bit more, his journey, when he comes on air. But across the monitor today, we got Packers at the Buccaneers that's coming up this Sunday, 4:25 p.m. Eastern on Fox. And across the monitor, they're just talking about Brady seen throwing his helmet at the tablet in frustration during the win over the Saints. Do you chalk this up to seven-time Super Bowl champ just being competitive? Well, everybody, you know that his nickname is Psycho Tom. Psycho Tom, that's Tom Brady's nickname. And he can get a little bit irate when things ain't going the way you need them to go. And I can kind of understand that frustration, because when you sat back and, you know, put your family on hold, time you could be spending with your wife, kids, time you could be at home mowing the grass, you're taking that time to be with the guys, you know, in the film room, studying film, doing this, doing that, trying to make sure that you know, the team gets another championship. And if everybody else is not on the same page as you are, then it can get a little dicey. It can get a little dicey on how you feel out there on the field. You can get frustrated. I know I get frustrated when I put in all the work I need to put in, and then somebody else still drops the ball. Somebody else still makes a bonehead move. I mean, I definitely get this frustration. At the same time, you know, they've been talking a lot about these rookie receivers for the Green Bay Packers. And if I'm correct, I believe this kid's number is number 9 out of Nevada. He was running on a play for the Green Bay Packers Sunday night, and I guess they ran a reverse so they can get the ball in his hands. Maybe, but I was in and out watching that game. Had some other stuff going on at a party I was at. But anyway, I did see that they looked like they were trying to get the ball back in the kid's hand, because maybe Aaron Rodgers didn't trust him throwing the ball to him again down the field. Maybe he had another drop. But anyway, the guy ran a reverse, and I think he ran it too quick and knocked the ball out of Aaron Rodgers' hands. instead of Aaron Rodgers being ready to give him the ball, I think the guy kind of like took off a little bit too quick and caused a fumble. Again, you got a great quarterback doing what he needs to do to get another championship, and you got guys making bonehead mistakes. You know, so I understand their frustration. No, I'm not an NFL athlete, not an NBA athlete. I'm not an athlete at all, not anymore. I just do my talk show and base my bold opinion. So I'm not trying to talk about these guys that's making mistakes. I'm just saying that I think that the great quarterbacks like the Brady's and the Rodgers should be frustrated being in the game so long, Super Bowls up under their name. And it's just like when you're working your hardest to be perfect, to be perfect, you're trying to get perfection, and everybody else is not doing their job, it can get frustrating. Again, I know, because I strive for perfection in all the work that I do. And then when something still comes up short and it's not on you, you get a little frustrated because somebody else is not dedicated on the other end. Well, with that being said, you know, again, for those of you just tuning in, thank you for tuning in to Stogies and Beer, the official platform for the professional armchair quarterback to call in and boast his or her bold opinion about the sport that they love. Stogies and Beer is broadcasting live from Chula Vista, California, WBEST, Chula Vista, California. And if you want to call into the show and talk about anything that's sports-related, we're definitely welcoming NFL news, because it is the season for NFL. You know, if you want to call in and talk about your favorite team and boast your bold opinion and kind of like debate me a little bit, the lines are open. All you got to do is call in to area code 515-602-9687, area code 515-602-9687. That's our guest call-in line for the Stogies and Beer radio show. At 8:15, we should have Grant Ibe. I hope I'm saying Grant's name right. I'm going to get him to correct me when he comes on there. Grant Ibe should be coming on the show talking about his street free agent journey in professional football. So we're going to have him coming on and everything like that. And, so that's what we're looking at doing once he chimes in and everything like that. So, yeah, it looks like I got somebody calling in, chiming in, that may be my man DC. I got some weird code up here, but I think that's my man DC out of Baltimore, Maryland. He's going to be calling in to the show, but I'm going to try to bring him in. And while I'm waiting on my guest caller to call in, I'm gonna bring him on the show and see what's going on down there in Baltimore. I mean, you know, they lost a game, you know, this weekend against the Dolphins, which they were up by a lot. But I think it's maybe because Lamar Jackson is worried about money. It's all about money right now with Lamar Jackson. Money. I deserve this. I deserve that. Which caused him to drop a big game against Tua Tagovailoa. Caused him to, fall off for a minute. But, we'll get my man DC in here in a minute. DC, if that's you out there, stand by for a minute because I got a scheduled interview with my man Grant Ebay. Stick around and listen to this show because I'm going to come back to you once we're done with this interview and ask you a little bit about that along with your Baltimore Ravens. But I believe I got 9312. I believe that's my man Grant Ebay with the Tucson Sugar Skulls out of the Indoor Football League calling in to do his Street Free Agent Athlete Spotlight, which will take us roughly about 30 minutes, give or take. But let me get him in here on the line. Everybody else, all mother callers, stand by. Caller 9312, is this Grant Ebay calling in?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. How you doing?
Hey, Grant, thank you for getting on the show this morning on Stogies and Beer, man. Thank you for coming in.
No problem, man. I appreciate it. Appreciate you having me.
Am I coming in clear to you? You're coming in clear to me. I just want to make sure we're both hearing each other, okay?
Yeah, I can hear you perfectly. I can hear you perfectly.
Okay, all right. What do you think about that big win out there in Arizona where you at with Kyler Murray this weekend?
Listen, I think what he has is definitely special, the way he was able to get away from defenders. I think that two-point conversion basically just showed everything, you know, why they're giving him $200 million. He's definitely a talent. He can throw it on the rope, you know. Despite not being the tallest guy, he could, you know, he could throw it through windows, which is actually hard because, you know, when defenders can't get there, what they do, put their hands up, and that makes it hard for shorter quarterbacks to throw because it can get blocked. But to have the talent to be able to throw through the windows and, you know, pick his spots is definitely amazing.
Okay, all right. Do you think if you had the opportunity to go and get a workout up there with the Arizona Cardinals, you think you could compete against a little quick guy like Kyler Murray? You think you could shut him down? You think you could pick him? You think you could hit him?
Most definitely. So I think, you know, most of the time what you do in that league is based on, you know, opportunity and circumstance. So, you know, you get in on a third down and five, you know, it's cover two, the corner in front of you just got hurt, right? So I play corner. Corner in front of you just got hurt. You're in cover two, slot receiver runs it out. You know, Kyler Murray's getting blitzed. He throws it. You pick it off. You score. Now you're in the league for, you know, five, 6 years. So I think it's just what you do for with your opportunity. I definitely think, you know, if you get an opportunity to go work out, you definitely have to go put your best foot forward and make the most of it happen. But if that call were to come to me, best believe, then the opportunity would present itself, and I'll make the most of it.
Okay. Before I get into your interview real quick, how do you pronounce your last name correctly? Is it Ebay or Ebay?
So it's Ebay. So I-B-E-H, Ebay. Yeah.
So it's I, not E, but I, Ebay. Because I know all
Ebay.
I watch the game sometimes, and you've also turned into a Eba.
I know. The announcers say all types of – announcers say Iba, Eba, Ipa. You know, this is crazy. And it's crazy because they tell – you know, they ask your coach how you spell the last name, so you give them the pronunciation, Iba, and it's still somehow. So, you know, but it's all right. It's all right.
Yeah, I mean, at least they call your name.
Exactly.
But yeah, man, real quick, for everybody just tuning in, we got my man Grant Ebay on the line with he's a street free agent athlete playing professional developmental football in the Indoor Football League with the Tucson Sugar Skulls out in Tucson, Arizona. Grant, real quick, let's get off into your interview. And at the end of that, I'll have a couple, just a quick tad bit more question to ask. I'm going to try to keep it right at 30, anywhere from 27 to 30 minutes so you can get back to your day. But just tell everybody right now a little bit. I like to do this for the high school kids that's you know, trying to pick the right school to go to rather than making the mistake of going to like a small D2 NAIA school or something like that. I'm trying to give them the best advice of how the parents and the kids can, when they're talking to the recruiters, make the best decision. So start from high school when you're talking about the grade wise. I mean, talk about why you didn't make it to like a ACC school. You're on the East Coast, so I'm going to just say an ACC school like a Maryland or something like that. Right. Why didn't you make it there, or did you get any of those type of offers? And then coming out of high school, go right into college, your college experience, going into the your pro experience, which we know COVID-19 affected that a lot. And then just kind of like talk about where you are today. So I'm gonna be quiet and let you go off and introduce yourself and go off into that your story. Go ahead.
Yeah. So what I would say is high school, like I would say I was kind of a late bloomer. So 9th grade, 10th grade, you know, you go to rivals camps. I'm sure a bunch of kids listening, you go to rivals camps or you go to the NFTC, Nike training camp, you know, they get your vitals, you know, you get verified, whatever, go to Oregon. So I was getting a lot of, you know, small school, Towson, Sacred Heart, Central Connecticut State, Villanova, who else? Delaware, Coastal Carolina. But I think for young kids, I think the main thing would go to a school where the coaches care about you as a person. As a person, I'll say as a person, just because when things go south in your career, unless you get unbelievably lucky and you go through college with no injuries, no problems, mind you, you know, I mean, it's very, very rare, but you know, unless you go through that, then you're going to see the real side of a coach when you go to that school. So I would say go to the coaches that care, you know, they in-home visits. I remember Central, Pete Rosamondo, he came to my house, head coach. I think now he's coaching at, I forget, Vanderbilt somewhere. I mean, he might be offensive line coach at Vanderbilt. But, you know, go somewhere where they actually care about you, because, you know, I tore my ACL my freshman year of college, and I really got that support from the coaching staff. You know, they wanted me to get back right, and it actually changed my whole career because it actually set me, you know, it set me through. I remember I had a junior in front of me. His name was Javon Elmore. He was an All-American. So I was actually, you know, on the bench, but then I tore my ACL, so I added an extra year. So, you know, I think in high school-wise, I would definitely say get your grades up, because they are not going to take you if your grades are not up. You have to get your – and, you know, unless you ball out in the SAT, ACTs, and then maybe that gives you a chance. But if you just go through high school and, you know, you're not caring about your grades and things like that, college coaches are not going to consider, you know, giving you an offer. But so then, you know, after high school, you know, I did my ACT, SATs, and then I went to Central Connecticut State. You know, I had a good collegiate career. After tearing my ACL, I remember we won the championship. Coming out of college, I graduated. Then I got, then I went to LIU for my grad year because I had an extra year of eligibility from tearing my ACL. You know, I did a good job at LIU. I got invited by Alex Santos, the Washington football team, mini camp, and I was a COVID year. So, you know, and being a late bloomer, that's why I tell all the high school kids, never just stop going hard, because I went to school with a lot of big names. I was the opposite corner of Trayvon Diggs, plays for the Dallas Cowboys now. Chase Young went to my rival school, Pilates. Who else? I remember Anthony McFarland, DeMatha. You know, you had Tino Ellis, DeMatha. You had, you know, a bunch of dudes just all over. Lawrence Cager. Lawrence Cager went to, I'm forgetting the school, somewhere in D.C., I think. And then you had, you know, the guy, you know, I used to train with Stephon Diggs, but that's just because he was Trayvon's brother. But you know, Zach Pascal from Maryland. So you got all these guys, you know, going. So it really just gave me that, you know, okay, I can do it. I can do it. I'm seeing all these guys. And what I tell young kids is the work will always pay off and it'll manifest. What that means is, like, when you put in the work, when you keep putting in the work and you're not seeing the results, sometimes you get discouraged. You're like, I don't really want to do this anymore. Nothing's showing. But what happens is when you work, you manifest people that also have the same work ethic as you. So then you start training with people that you never thought you would train with. You know, I remember when I got invited to the camp, all of a sudden, you know, I was getting brought among people I can go one-on-one with. Mecole Hardman, I'm very close with Terry McLaurin now. Travis Fulgham, Zach, who else? Cam Sims, Steve Sims. You know, just a lot of people that have the same work ethic as you. So for what I would tell youngins right now is just stay focused. You know, a lot of people aren't going to tell you to, you know, necessarily just keep going hard. People don't want – people when you kind of branch out and you're doing something that people aren't used to, all of a sudden, oh, he's acting different. He's not moving the same. He acting weird. He doing – he acting brand new. Or the famous one, he Hollywood now. He think he Hollywood now. You know what I mean? But it's not you being Hollywood.
Right.
It's just you seeing a better future for yourself, which is completely fine. You know, if you stuck in the same place, that's the problem. But, you know, the people that love you the most don't want to see you at that top, which means that's probably going to be your family, which means you're going to be a little lonely not having friends for a little bit. It may be like that, unless you have some friends who genuinely got love for you and wanted to see you at the top, you know. So that's what I tell young guys. I was a late bloomer. I mean, I don't think I hit 6 foot till I was a senior. So, you know, and I committed. So I tore my hip flexor my senior year of high school, so I committed early. I committed. My junior year, that was when I got my first all my offers from St. Francis and Central, all these small schools. Now, when I had went to college and I completed my 4 years and I had an extra year of eligibility, I had UConn, Vanderbilt, but Long Island was the first team that hit me up. And I remember I talked to somebody. I said, "What do you think I should do? Do you think I should go to this big school, Vanderbilt?" Who I remember, Coach Lehman's. He was working there at the time. He had DM'd me on Twitter. Coach Lane hit me up. I'm like, if I go to Vanderbilt, they may just stick me on special teams, you know, then they place that label. Oh, he played at the FCS school. Now what? Boom, done. You don't get to play corner. You don't get to do, you know, the things that you're used to doing. You just get to run down special teams. Now, when you're in the NFL, special teams, right, $900,000. College, special teams, you got to be doing something else with it. That's what I would say. But now, if you're in the NFL and you play one thing, that's another thing. Okay, you're playing special teams, you're making a lot of money. That's completely fine. But, And you're working hard for your family. You're going down that field. You know, everybody's trying to feed their families. So, you know, that's another thing. But in college, you want to go somewhere you can play and show your skill. That's what I always say.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah, so never stop.
Let me time in here
yeah.
And ask you this.
Yeah.
When you went to Central Connecticut and the same thing at Long Island, did you get a pro day at either one of those schools? And if you got a pro day, what scouts were there to look at you to say, "Hey, I want to bring you into camp," this, that, and the other?
So I actually went to the Maryland. So when I went to the small school, yes, if you're the best at that school, they will place you at a bigger school to do your pro day. Because the reality is, if you go to a small school, unless you're Carson Wentz or, you know, first-round talent, not a lot of scouts are going to be coming just to watch you individually. The reason why a lot of scouts go to these big schools for pro days is because there's a whole bunch of kids to watch. Now, if there's just one kid from a small school, they'll probably bring you up. So I went to Maryland's pro day. I was introduced to Mike Owens for the Green Bay Packers. But matter of fact, my pro day actually got canceled. My pro day actually got canceled because of COVID. So, you know, I tell kids all the time, you know, I trained from January to my pro day only for COVID. So only for COVID to hit and wipe out. It wasn't just me. It was all of, I remember JB, a couple of my boys, all of them got canceled. You know what I mean? That's why I would say it's important to get your education. But, you know, they'll bring you up if, you know, they'll give you either, you'll go to, so Connecticut, right? You'll go to either UConn, well, UConn's not very good right now, but you'll either go to UConn if you're in Maryland and you go to Towson, they'll probably bring you up to go to the University of Maryland, have your pro day in front of all the scouts. So, you know, I talked to Mike Owens, because I actually still went, even though it got canceled. I met up with a scout that said he was there to see me. So, I mean, I got very lucky. I ended up getting his contact, Pat McDonough, Baltimore Ravens. I also met with him. And so, you know, I always say just do the work and everything will handle itself. Unfortunately, COVID was, you know, something that nobody could really predict or stop, you know, so. But that's a different situation.
So after you, let me chime in here real quick and ask you this here. After you got in touch with me. You got in touch with me.
Yeah.
And then I know that, you know, you wanted to go to Hub. You got the Hub invite.
Yeah.
Went out and did that.
Yeah.
You balled out here in San Diego. From that point, you know, I just told you, I said, well, I think the best thing for you to do is just start playing football. Now, I know I asked to a lot of my street free agent pro developmental football players, I asked them this question. What was your main concern about not wanting – what was your main reason for not wanting to go that route that I suggest? Because I know that it was a hard sell for you. I had to tell you, man, just go play. Just go play. And I know you were like, no, man, I don't want to do that. I'm NFL. I ain't ISL. I'm NFL. So go play.
Right. So I'll say it's definitely like a it's a humbling, you know, it's a humbling kind of experience, because what you think is when you're not playing in the indoors, like, oh, man, I ain't playing. And are you serious? Those dudes scrub what you see, da-da-da, you know.
Right.
You see it on the line, you're like, man, these dudes can't play, da-da. But I'll tell you what, I went there and those dudes could play. And, you know, there was a couple guys on my team, actually a bunch of guys on my team who played in the league for multiple years. Isom, he played for the Vikings for multiple years. Al played for the Bears, played for the Giants, I think. You know, so there's dudes that can play. What happens is, what guys don't understand is the league is a business league. It's cutthroat. It's cutthroat. It's the most cutthroat business in the world. Anytime you got a job paying over $800,000, $900,000, you understand, it's very small leash, because that one play could cost that owner a lot of money. So, you know, and not even that coach, right, before he was the owner. So, you know, so it's very cutthroat. And it's the same way in this IFL. Listen, it's the same way in every league. It's the same way in every league, IFL, CFL, all cutthroat. So, I mean, I played for the Sugar Skulls. I was able to stay from camp all the way to end of the season. I remember it was me and Rob Roll, shout out my boy Rob, who played for the whole season. We were the only two DBs. Every other DB, I think we had seen over maybe 15 other DBs just getting in and out, coming in and out, coming in and out, getting cut, signing new ones, getting cut, signing new ones, getting cut, signing new ones. So it's a business in every league. So my only thing would just stay focused. You know, if you want to get paid playing the sport, you know, you're going to have to go through some things, because it's going to be challenging, you know. And I know I recently just got invited to the XFL thing and everything, but everything is a business, you know.
But let me ask you this here, because I had a long conversation, which I had put out there just a tidbit on the show, on my show here. I had canceled this show because I thought this show wasn't really doing much to help athletes, because, you know, I'm not really here to entertain. I'm here to educate.
Right.
I'm here to show guys what their walk is going to be. But divine intervention, what I call it, made me bring this show back. I was off for a couple of days, but I had to bring it back. But the thing about it is, the reason why I brought the show back, and I want you to comment on this, I had a young man, and I want you to comment say something for him, to help him. He called me. We talked about 45 minutes. He has the opportunity to go play for the Green Bay Blizzard in the IFL. Good, and I told him, I said, that's a great opportunity, man, because, you know, a lot of times, man, it's hard to get a rookie coming straight out of college a contract.
Yeah.
Plus, as a DB, a lot of times they want to sign their DB vets back. They don't really like to sign, because you can find a DB in anywhere, usually. It's just like finding a guard in basketball. You can find one walking down the street. So it's like, you know, you're talking about in football, a DB And then, you know, it's hard to get you guys signed. So I told him, I said, look, man, I think you should take that contract because what's the worst that can happen? If anybody bigger come calling, they're going to cut you. But that's because they'll put you on IR and let you go and take the big opportunity. And if it don't work out at the big, at the bigger league, they'll just let you come back. So he was like, I don't know, man. You know, it ain't paying all that much money. Maybe I should just stay home and train. I'm just kind of – but I told him, this is what I told him, but I'll let you speak to it. I told him, no answer is the right or wrong answer. That's the thing about decisions when you're playing sports. You taking the contract ain't wrong. You not taking the contract not wrong. You got to find out what's the best thing for you. But I told him, say, my suggestion would be to keep gaps out of your resume. I said, I think you need to play football. So and what do you say to that young man?
So what I'll say to him, and this is probably my last thing because I'm starting up these classes. I'm a coach and a teacher. So this will probably be the last thing I'll say. The last thing I'll probably say is you got to just play football. You know, play football. Get on the field. Get film. Get film. You have to get film down. As much of a humbling, if you really think you that and you shouldn't be playing that league, then show why you shouldn't be playing in that league. You know what I'm saying? You got to ball out.
Right.
It doesn't matter. If you're really there and you a DB, then you should be getting 15 interceptions on the Green Bay Blitzers. You understand what I'm saying? So it'll all work out. And if you're balling that hard, somebody will notice you and you will get signed. It's just that simple. So you know that's the main thing I would say is just stick to the script and play football. Do what you know how to do. Do what you love doing. And grind hard at practice. Make sure the coaches know, hey, I'm trying to play in an upper league, so they know, okay, this guy's serious, you know, and they'll put you on them. They know what it is. They'll know. Once you give them that, you know, hey, I'm trying to go to the next level, you know, let's do it, you know, and they'll know. So that's pretty much all I have to say. Thank you for the interview, and Ramiro, and I'll get back to you soon. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Grant, for being on the show. Thank you. Have a good day.
All right. Yeah, no problem. Thank you. Have a great day.
All right, now. For those of you just tuning in, thank you for tuning in to the Stogan and Beer Radio Show. And we just had my guest calling in for the our Street Free Agent Athlete Spotlight. That's my man, Grant Ibe, with the Tucson Sugar Skulls in the Indoor Football League. I'm going to go to my callers now. I look like I might have my man DC on here so we can let him comment on the interview we just did, and then we're going to get off into some Baltimore Ravens talk, of course, but I got to rag him about them. But we're going to DC right now, 5-4-3-2-1. DC, are you on the line? DC, you there? Caller, you on the line? Are you there? Okay, maybe that's not DC. But anyway, I got a weird call in, but maybe it's just somebody listening. I got it a DN something percent 23039. If you want to call in, if you want to comment on what you just heard, I'm going to come to you one more time. Since you're on the line, let's see what you think. I'm going to come to you, caller, that's on the line in queue. This is Ramiro Ferran with Stogies and Beer. Are you there? Okay, maybe they don't want to talk. But anyway, again, going back to, you know, our featured athlete, free agent athlete spotlight of the day. That was my man Grant Ibe calling in for those of you just tuning in to Stogies and Beer. He was just talking about his journey as a high school football player, all the way up to playing professional developmental football, trying to get his next opportunity. He's just talking and everything like that about his journey. And I do this again because I like to educate a lot of guys that are on the cusp of making a crucial decision in their career. And I just try to basically help guys make the best decision by bringing other guys that are currently in their same situation for the most part and just got out of some of the things that they're currently dealing with. So I try to bring people on here and get their opinion about certain stuff so these athletes can go back and listen to the show and then, make a wise decision. And I think that was good what he said today for one of my clients under management services, just trying to encourage him to go ahead on and play. which is what I suggested as well. But when you hear it coming from me, it might, when an athlete hears it coming from me as a executive, they may not understand it because I'm not out there playing football. I'm on the business side of it. But when another athlete that was saying the same thing last year that you were saying, that you're saying right now, and they're telling you, you know, the best thing to do is go and play. Keep your aspirations high, but play. Because when you get out there on that field, it's going to be a lot of other players that have been in and out of the NFL, and you're going to be going up against those guys, and it's going to really be a test. And most of the guys that I've known that's been pro developmental street free agents that are still trying to get to the XFL, USFL, et cetera, they'll tell you, it's some dogs in these leagues, like the Indoor Football League, Champions Indoor Football League, National Arena League, Fan Control Football League. It's some dogs in these leagues. It's some dogs out there. I mean, you know, it's high-level competition. I mean, even in Fan Control Football, you had doggone, who was that? You had Terrell Owens, Johnny Manziel. They're down there. Then a couple of other guys. I can't remember the guy's name. Martavius Bryant, I think one of them. One guy from the Pittsburgh Steelers, but he was a wide receiver. He was out there, and he had a name. And it's just like, you know, you run into guys that are still trying to get on TV and trying to get a look, trying to work their way back to the league. So I try to tell guys, you know, take the opportunity. If the opportunity is there, take the opportunity to play. But you know, I'm sitting here looking across the monitor. We got Stephon Diggs on TV. You know, talking and everything, doing the interview on TV, and you just heard Grant Ibe said that he knows him very well. They played in college together, or something. He was just saying that they played together at some level. They were both on the field together. That's Stephon Diggs, you know. And so you know, and I think he also mentioned that he knows his brother. I think that's the younger one that played for the Cowboys. He knows either one of them. I'll put it like that. He knows either one of those guys, either Stephon Diggs or his little brother. I have to verify with Grant. But he was around a lot of high-level players. He even showed me film of him going back and, you know, doing a workout with some high-level NFL players. And I think that film that he sent me, when I sent it out to a lot of different teams, they caught their eye, and they wanted to bring him in the camp, at least to get him out there to get film. And so he stuck around for the whole season, you know, injuries and all. He stuck around for the whole season, made it to the end, and he got his film. And they just offered him another contract. But just a little bit about Grant, again, he just got a great job, which is that's what he was saying. He was at work, got a great job as a teacher. He's teaching and coaching in Tucson, Arizona. So he took an opportunity to come all the way from the East Coast, from Connecticut, all the way to Tucson, Arizona. He found a whole new life. And that's what I try to tell a lot of young men and young women, depending on what sport they're playing. Not to say women don't play football either, you know, however you want to look at it. I tell a lot of men and women, sports can take you to another area of the country and around the world, and you just may find another life, you know where you land. And for him, he went to Tucson. He's out there working, making friends, of course, working. He's coaching, I think, junior high football and high school football while he's still playing professional football at the professional developmental film level, trying to get film to move up and to the XFL, and he got an XFL workout coming up in San Diego next month that he's going to be going to. I believe it's either this month or next month, but he's going to be doing that, and he's probably going to get the XFL opportunity that he's looking for because he can play. He's very good. He can play, no doubt. So as you heard what you were saying, you know, the Green Bay Packers, the Baltimore Ravens, they were bringing him in for his rookie minicamp workout. And the problem was COVID-19 shut everything down for his pro day, shut everything down for a rookie minicamp. COVID-19 killed, you know, pretty much killed his NFL dream to a certain point. But he took it back. He put life back into his dream by coming back and playing in the indoor football league at a high level for a good team. And they went to the playoffs. He was part of the playoffs. So he was able to get that experience of playing professional football. And that's what I tell guys, you know, I try to give you a professional football experience. That's what I try to give you, a professional football experience. But I'm going to go to a little bit of music here and take a quick break. This is Stogies and Beer Radio Show. And if you'd like to call in to the show call-in line is going to be area code 515-602-9687, 515-602-9687. If you'd like to call in to the show and boast your bold opinion about the sport that you love, Stogies and Beer Radio Show can be heard most Mondays through Thursdays, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific time. We talk about a lot of NFL because this is a football talk show. But we also talk about NBA. We also talk about Major League Baseball because it's still baseball season, of course. But we can talk about pie-eating contests, camel racing, dog racing, NASCAR, WWE, UFC, boxing, whatever you want to call in and talk about, I'm open for it. If I don't know about the sport, you can teach me about it. If you don't know about what I'm talking about, I can teach you about it. But I see my man DC. That's what I was going to do is go to a music break and go back to him. But I'm trying to get to him, but I hit his mic and he ain't say nothing the last time. I'm trying to go back to him again. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Hey, what's up, my brother?
We got DC on the line. Man, I went to you like 5 minutes ago and you wouldn't say nothing to me.
No. I had to take a call and I didn't get a chance to click back over. So sorry about that. Yeah.
Okay,
sorry about
that. Did you actually hear the interview that I was just doing?
I heard part of it. Yeah. With that guy, I heard part of it because, like I said, as soon as I called in and you was like, "I'm gonna go to this interview," I was like, "Cool." Then I had a call, so I had to shift over. We're good. But first things first, I'm gonna talk about my Ravens.
Because the Ravens
obviously look like trash in the fourth quarter, and this is 2 years in a row that Miami has beat them and beat the brakes off of them, as far as I'm concerned. And so
it's the money. When somebody's mind is on money, they can't focus on winning the game. It's all about the money in Lamar head. You got to accept that he's distracted right now.
Well, I will say three things. Number one, I knew, early in the game, Lamar scored on a goal line touchdown, and then Miami challenged it, and it was called back. And the Ravens went for it on fourth down and got stuffed. I knew that play was going to come back and haunt them. Had the Ravens had kicked the field goal there, they would have still won the game against Miami. They went for it on fourth down, and they didn't convert. And then later on in the game, they had another fourth down conversion, and they got stuffed. And so when you're playing teams, you know, coaching is significant. And so this one, to me, was on the coaches. It was not on Lamar. I actually was impressed with his game Sunday. And I'm surprisingly, I like Lamar, but I'm not insanely obsessed with Lamar Jackson, even though I am a diehard Ravens fan. So
Let me ask you this. Did he throw all those touchdowns? I know he threw a considerable amount rather than using his legs and running them in, because I was driving listening to it on the radio. I was trying to get to a tailgate party, but I think he threw most of those touchdowns. Am I correct or did he? He did.
He only ran one. He broke one for a 75-yard run, and other than that, he pretty much threw all the touchdowns he had outside of one. Yep.
Against a good Miami defense. Still, am I correct?
That is correct. So my point is,
why they won't just go on there and pay him? What else at that point do you need to prove? I just showed you I can throw on a good defense. So what else do I need to prove to get a contract?
So I'll tell you why. If I was the owner, I would do just what I'm doing right now. Number one, they offered him a lucrative deal. They offered the deal they offered him was better than Russell Wilson's. It was better than Kyle Murray.
Oh, okay.
It just wasn't better than Deshaun Watson's. Right? But to me, Deshaun Watson's contract is an albatross. Right? Like, Cleveland was dumb for paying that guy his money because to me, he wasn't worth that. All right? Now, why do I say that? And I'm not stopping nobody from getting their money. That's not what I'm doing. I want everybody to be millionaires. We can all be billionaires, as far as I'm saying. I'm not everyone, but I wouldn't have paid that much for Deshaun Watson.
Mm-hmm.
He was in Houston all those years, and he only took on the playoff one time. Like I wouldn't have paid him all that money. You know.
Me neither.
So I don't think. You know, if I was the owner of the Ravens, I would be like, yo, I'm not going to use what Cleveland did to goat me out of more money. Like, for example, if me and you neighbors and you go buy a 1989 Ford Focus for $50,000, that doesn't mean that I'm now on the hook to buy a 30-year-old car for
$60,000. Yeah.
Right? Like, why would I do that? No, I'm going to go buy a 3-year-old car for $5,000, right? That's a smart deal, right? That's my point, you know? So that's the mentality. People assume that because so-and-so paid, then you got to pay too, right?
And all to do is just keep driving the price up. Just keep driving it. That's what I hate about this stuff when you talk about contracts and agents, even though his mom is his manager. But, you know, they obviously understand what agents do mean in taking the top 10 per position and saying, I want to be paid around the top 3 of those guys. And, you know, and I guess his thing was like, I feel like I deserve more money than Deshaun. But, I mean, all that's going to do is drive the freaking price up for the next guy that needs to get a contract. Am I correct?
Correct. And we're talking about guys that ain't won a Super Bowl ring.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
yeah.
Let's be honest. This, you know, yeah, okay, he was MVP. Mm-hmm, yep. I'm not hating on that. But when it comes to the playoffs, he hasn't produced. Right? And, you know, why would I pay you a lump sum of money? You ain't delivered a title. So that's why but I also respect Lamar's contract perspective, and it is, I'm going to play out my current deal because when I got drafted, I told y'all I would deliver a title on my rookie deal, so I want to see him do that. And so I hope he does. I hope the Ravens do win the Super Bowl. But at the same token, you know, I don't blame him for Sunday's loss. I blame the coaches. The defense coordinator is a young guy. He just came in from Michigan State. This was his second NFL game as defensive coordinator, and it showed. The offensive coordinator has always had an issue, Greg Roman, and it showed. Nobody's afraid of the Ravens' run-pass option anymore, and that's what they tried to run on those fourth downs, tricking the defense, and no one's afraid of it. And that's why they got stuffed each time. Right. So the Ravens lost this game because of coaching. But let's see how they respond.
What do you think this did for Tua's career? I mean, Tua been getting a lot of heat in the press, you know. Then, you know, they added one key person, which was the cheetah. They put the cheetah out there, and then now he looks like a whole new player. I mean, what do you say about that?
I don't think it's gonna. I think it's a check marks in the bright column, but I don't think it makes you think he's a first ballot Hall of Famer just yet. Let's see how he does against New England. Let's see how he does against Buffalo. I believe they have the Bills this week. So let's see how Miami does against the Bills, right? Can he go in New York and Orchard Park and play, you know, Josh Allen like he played Lamar? Now, let's say Miami going there and slay Buffalo. Now you might be on to something. Now let's see what happened when they play New England. Now you might be on to something, right? So I definitely think,
Now, as far as Tariq Hill go, let me ask you this. Has Tariq proven the fact that Kansas City, y'all should just pay me the damn money? I mean, I know Kansas City is undefeated, but what I'm saying is, is Tariq's argument strong that I can do this anywhere? Y'all should just pay me the damn money.
Yes.
What you say?
Yes. Yes, I agree with Tariq's argument because I was hosting a party here at my house, and everybody was like, yo, you know, don't leave Tyreek Hill open. Why is Tyreek Hill wide open? Because all the touchdowns except the one to the tight end, Gesicki, was to Tyreek Hill. So everybody was like, why are you leaving Tyreek Hill wide open? Like, on the defense, every player should be like, all right, it doesn't matter. Where is Tyreek Hill? Right? So
are they leaving him open, though, or was he just that damn fast? And he just can get open, isn't it? Can you really even hold him?
No, they was leaving that cat open. They on the first touchdown pass to Tyreek Hill, the corner let him run past them because he thought he had safety help over the top, and there was no safety there, so he was wide open. So it was a blown coverage, you could argue. But here's my thing. I'm saying to myself, as a corner, why would I leave Tyreek Hill wide open one-on-one with a safety when I know this guy is super talented, right? So
I would
keep running with him regardless. I don't care what the play is. You got to recognize where you are in the game, right? So
yeah,
and that's why I said I question the coaches in this one, you know, not the players, right? As coaches, you make adjustments, right? If you're paying attention, you know, because
right.
The players, you know, players are out there in the heat of the moment. They're competing against each other, you know. They're pushing and grunting, and you know, they're hyped up on adrenaline. So they're not thinking; they're playing.
Right.
You know.
Well, let me ask you this here, switching to my team. You know, I'm just kind of like going around the league here. But we'll get back to Baltimore at the end. But I was talking to my little brother. He was in the Superdome this weekend watching the Saints play. He's a diehard. When I say diehard, I mean diehard Saints fan. They can't do no wrong. But I was explaining to him that I just got off of a trip down in Louisiana, and I was telling him when I was there. I said, look, man, Jameis Winston's biggest problem is that he can't read defense, I believe. I don't think he can read defense. To throw that many touchdowns, 30 touchdowns, 30 interceptions at one time in his career, that means you can't read defense. That's what I've learned about all this stuff. A lot of when a quarterback can't read defense, it's critical. And so with this weekend when they were playing, he threw that pick six. I'm like, that type of stuff's a backbreaker. So do you think it's just that he can't read defense, or it just was a mistake? What do you think? On Jameis Winston.
So I agree with you. Jameis is a gunslinger. He likes to throw the ball, and I do agree that he cannot read defenses. And I say that to say he must can't read defenses, because if you study film as a quarterback, you would reduce the amount of turnovers that you throw. He can throw the ball. He can make all the throws. So this isn't an issue of talent. I agree. He's not working on his craft. He's not, you know. Think about how he got in the league, right? He came out of JC. I mean, he could have been one of your stories, one of your guys, right? He could have been a client of yours, right? Came out of JC, right? Went to Auburn, right? Led him to the title, mm-hmm. You know, he kind of took the unconventional route, and I think that's what got him going. I think his attitude is, it worked. That's why I'm here. So why change what I'm doing? But what you don't understand is getting there is one thing. Staying there is something different.
I think the correction on Jameis was, I think he did go the JUCO route, but he wound up going to Florida State. You want to go on the floor and say Cam Newton went to Auburn.
I'm sorry. Cam went to Auburn. Jameis went to Florida State. But that's my point. My point is still, he felt like, okay, I got here, and you know, so what I did works because I'm in the NFL. But my point is do you stay? That's why Tom Brady gets a lot of respect. It's not because everybody knows Tom Brady's not a great athlete. Everybody knows that. It's that Tom Brady works at his craft. You can't tell me Tom Brady don't study film. Right?
Man, that man, I think he's in trouble with his wife right now for going back.
For studying film instead of going out with her for dinner. Right. That's my point.
Right.
He's always, remember Tom Brady used to always talk about how Ed Reed would always trick him. He could never pick up any Ed Reed tactics or tells on the film, right? And that's what I'm saying. I'm saying, you know, this is cerebral. This isn't all physical, right? Michael Vick admitted it years later. He was like, man, I did not watch film when I was younger. And I'm like, right, that's why you never want to ring. Right, because if he had watched film and studied his craft, he would have been one of the all time greats. And so you got to work at it, you know.
So it's almost like, you know, the athletic part is going to take you so far, but at some point in your career, you're going to be called upon to use your mind. You're going to be called upon to use your smarts. But if you ain't sat back and looked at all these different disguises and covers and know what they're doing, if you ain't took the time to do that, you know, you're going to throw a pick.
Something's
going to happen.
True statement.
What do you think about Tom Brady saying the guy this morning, they're saying that Tom Brady kind of threw Evans under the bus, saying that, hey, he'll learn. But it's like, Tom, you started that fight. What do you think about that? The guy came to your defense.
You know what?
Fight.
It tells you that Tampa Bay's not winning the Super Bowl this year. No, I'm gonna tell you why it tells you that. It tells you that because they don't have team guys. Like, this is gonna divide that locker room.
Yeah.
Right? It's gonna divide that locker room. Because every teammate's gonna be like, wait a minute. Why are we hating on Mike Evans for defending arguably the GOAT in the NFL? But then Tom Brady's going to look bad if he's not backing his teammate. Right? Gronk isn't there. Gronk's a team guy. He's a locker room guy. He's not there. So they got rid of O.J. Howard, right? Another team guy, right? They got rid of him. So this just means they're not winning the title. I mean, the NFC is already second to the AFC. I mean, the AFC is clearly the better conference. But it just means that Tampa Bay won't not only will they not win the Super Bowl, but they won't represent the NFC in the championship game.
Well, hold on 1 second, DC. I want to welcome everybody to Stogies and Beer Radio Show this morning. Got my man DC on the line here from Maryland, talking a little bit about all things NFL going around the league for week two. But we're broadcasting live from Chula Vista, California, WBEST. This is the Stogies and Beer Radio Show. And DC, real quick, what do you think is the most impressive thing about the Eagles 2-0 start with Jalen Hurts? I mean, he done took a lot of flack the last two seasons. I think he did take the Eagles to the playoffs, and I think they might have got bounced out the first round, something like that. But however, he does have a couple wins recorded over the Saints. He has our number. What do you think? How did he look now to you? I mean, because he put on a show last night. How did he look in your opinion?
He looked good, but what got my attention was the rookie wide receiver, Quez Watkins. I know he only had two catches, but he got my attention. That 53-yard touchdown that he caught got my attention. And I'll be honest, I've been watching that kid in fantasy, and somebody snatched him up, and I wish I could grab that kid, all right? I think they're doing great. When they got A.J. Brown this year, they picked him up, and I think that really made the difference for them offensively. So I'm actually not shocked at what Jalen Hurts is doing, I expect this because he now has weapons. That kid, Quez Watkins, is going to be something. He might be your rookie of the year out of the NFC.
Okay, so basically what you're telling me is, based on what you just said, let's look at it like this. We talked about Tua earlier, Alabama quarterback, Heisman winner. We talked about Jalen Hurts now, Alabama quarterback. I don't think he won the Heisman, but he was in the Heisman running. So now, my thing is this. This is my thing. Follow me here. They've been dogging both of these two quarterbacks. And then now you got a Mac Jones, another Alabama quarterback. I'm thinking what I'm hearing based on what you just said is that it's not the quarterbacks coming out of Alabama. It's because when they're at Alabama, they got weapons all around them. They got all these weapons. Then they come to the NFL. Those weapons now are scattered amongst, 42 teams or however many teams it is. And they just ain't they can't shine with the weapons that they got. So am I correct the way I'm seeing this, in your opinion?
Yes, because Alabama has a system. See, what I learned is in life, this isn't just sports, this is in life. In life, if you have a system, you will maintain success. If you don't have, you a flash in the pan is going to be just that. In order to be successful, you have to have a system. Families who start a business and the business becomes successful and they turn it over to the children. And the children, the business die, right? It's because
they hate the business. They don't love it.
Right. Or they fail to follow the system established, right? Mm-hmm. When you have a system established, that will maintain longevity. Because remember, a system is not based on individual skills. It's based on the system. So when you talk about these Alabama quarterbacks, they're system guys. They run a pro set offense, right, in college. They come in, they teach them the system, right? If they fit their system, they're good. Yes, individual athleticism on a broken play or scrambling or whatever, all that's great. But in the end, do you run my system? And once these guys run the system, they shine. Joe Montana, right? Joe Montana, you could argue he was a good quarterback coming out of Notre Dame, right? But Joe Montana was a system guy. He ran that West Coast offense. He'd give the ball to Jerry Rice on a slant, and Rice would break it 89 yards for a touchdown. Right?
Every time. Get
a ball to Roger Craig off a screen. Roger Craig juke three people and a 40-yard touchdown pass by Montana. No, Montana didn't throw 40 yards. He threw it 10 yards, and it was 30 yards after the catch, right? Why? Because Montana was a system guy. Oh, he had guts. He had heart. I'm not taking anything from Joe Montana. That's not where I'm going with this. I'm saying, but Joe Montana was a system guy. He ran the system. He understood the system. He was cerebral. Tom Brady, system guy. Run the system, understood the system, cerebral. Right?
Do you knock Aaron Rodgers? I was watching the late game, you know, at the tailgate party, you know. As I was, trying to get a couple glimpses of the game with so much going on. But the late night game, the Bears and the Packers, I saw a play. And I'm assuming that what happened the first week happened this week. Aaron Rodgers probably wasn't throwing these new kids, these new rookie wide receivers. And I'm mainly talking about number 9, I believe, out of Nevada. To get the ball in his hands, I saw them run a reverse. And when they ran this reverse, the number 9, he knocks the ball out of Aaron Rodgers' hand, which causes a fumble. And I guess they were trying to run that play just to get the guy some kind of touches to get the ball in his hand to get him active, because maybe Rodgers again was like, I don't trust him. I'm not throwing him the ball. I didn't see the whole game. I just saw pieces of it at the party. But do you understand Rodgers' frustration with this kid? You know, 2 weeks in a row, one big drop. Next week he causes a fumble. What do you say about that?
I agree. Aaron Rodgers is frustrated. And he's frustrated because he knows he's running out of time. You know, he's only won one ring. He's got the same amount of rings as Joe Flacco, Drew Brees, and Trent Dilfer. And Aaron Rodgers expects to be a Hall of Famer, and I understand that because he's been around longevity and he's been a multiple-year MVP. But in the end, he only has one ring. And so he knows he's coming close to the end. He's trying to get that ring. And right now, Green Bay could be the NFC representative because I don't think it's going to be Tampa Bay. It definitely ain't going to be the Saints because we just talked about Jameis Winston.
No, we told.
The Rams defense just does not look the same as it did last year. And let's be honest, that's why they won that Super Bowl. It was their defense. So the bottom line is yeah, I mean, it is quite possible that this could be Green Bay's year to get to the Super Bowl. I don't think it's going to make a difference, but it could get them there. So, yeah. Aaron Rodgers should.
I was going to not cut you off there, but I seen something interesting, and I definitely want you to comment on this, not to cut you off on Green Bay, but I think it's important because we have been talking about this Cleveland Browns situation, bringing in Jimmy Garoppolo, letting go Baker Mayfield. And for whatever reason, Frisco, I don't know what made them do it. They just said, let's just cool all the Jets. We're going to let's see what Trey Lance do. Next thing I look up, this kid is out for the season. But they still had Garoppolo. I mean, smart move on their part, or did they just get blessed by a mistake, or was this planned? What do you have to say about that with the 49ers?
Smart move on their part because you got to remember, even though we're going to go with this young, flashy kid, anything can happen. So I thought it was a great move by the general manager, and guess what? Anything happened. And now Jimmy G is going to ball out for San Francisco. They're going to ball out. It might be San Francisco and Green Bay again to see who go to Super Bowl. They're going to ball out. Jimmy G got a ball out because he had the end of his contract. Right? So he's got a ball out. So San Francisco is going to be very competitive because of it, right? So, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he got that incentive deal to where they're saying if he do this and do that and play X amount of the game, it's going to be, you know, like a $250,000 bonus, $350,000 bonus, something I saw up there. And I'm like, wow, that's a nice hell of an incentive right there. Come in and when you come in to win games. But I guess now, since he's a starter, that might go out of the window. He got paid this game, but now that he's been named a starter, as long as he stays on task, I guess he'll be all right right there. And then this weekend, I was also listening as I was driving to my tailgate party, the L.A. Rams, which is AM radio is so funny, man. The announcers on AM radio, they are so animated, but – anyway, the Rams, they were hyping the Rams up on the radio show, and then when I finally got to my destination and saw the final score, man, I'm like, man, that the Falcons almost came back on y'all.
Yep.
I don't know if that was because of Mariota or what, but they came back. And I don't think that's a good look for the Super Bowl champions. What do you think?
It is not, and their defense is looking suspect. They weren't impressive week one. And you know, a lot of times people, they argue week one is, oh, well, I mean, they gave the Bills, remember week one, the Bills put 31 points on the Rams.
They spanked them at home, right?
So, okay. And then week two, right? You don't look good either. Right, you won, but you ain't look good. Right,
that was at home.
Right, against the Falcons, a team that you know nobody projects is going to do more than 3 wins tops. You know, so yeah.
How did last night? How did Derrick Henry become a non-factor you know, who they play, the Eagles. I mean, they got shut. Not the Eagles. Who did Tennessee play in the first game? That was Buffalo. Buffalo shut them down, right?
Yep.
That's a good defense, but.
No, I was going to say, I agree with you. They did make Derrick Henry look horrible. I mean, he had 25 yards on 13 carries. That's not even 2 yards a carry, right?
They bottled him up.
But think about Tennessee. They got rid of A.J. Brown, right? The arguably the one wide receiver they had,
mm-hmm.
right? So now all you know they're going to do is give it to Derrick Henry. They really don't have anybody else.
And Tannehill ain't the best quarterback. I mean, he's holding his position. Don't get me wrong, but he's a wide receiver. But you know, he's really a wide receiver. He's holding his position now. But and I ain't gonna take too much from him. But I'm just saying he ain't that guy. Like he ain't that star quarterback is all I'm trying to say. So he can't do nothing if they took Brown away. What else can he do but keep handing the ball off? Feed Derrick Henry. But people
right.
ain't gonna go for that all the time. You know, you got who they got with Von Miller with Buffalo now, and certain ones. You know, they got a good defense. He ain't running over on us like that.
You're right. And Tennessee got Robert Woods as a wide receiver, but remember, he was like that glue guy with the Rams, but he wasn't the number one guy. Like he was the wide receiver
right.
that they would occasionally get a third down and keep the drive going, but he wasn't like the main man,
the guy.
Right? So right.
He
and
like,
they got
like
Josh Gordon. They got Josh Gordon, but, you know, honestly, let's be honest, Josh Gordon is done, right? You know, old Cleveland, the guy that couldn't stay on the field because he kept getting suspended for weed and indefinite.
I thought he was out of the league.
Yeah, he's in Tennessee, so.
You found him in Tennessee?
Yeah. Yeah, he was in the game. He was in the game because when I seen it, I was like, "Wow, that's Josh Gordon." Yeah, he was in the game.
Yeah, you see what I'm saying? Like, where he been? You know?
Right. See, so that's why I said that they're not. No, they're not going to. Tennessee's not going to do much. They're pretty much done. And the cool thing about having a running back is great. But your running back, you need help your running back successful. If everybody know you're going to hand it off to the running back all night, and even Derrick Henry ain't going to survive that. He's going to have a rough year.
Everybody coming for him. Everybody put a hat on. Everybody put a hat on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Sunday we had a former Baltimore Ravens, Super Bowl champion, Joey Flacco. He got a good win in against somebody. What do you think about that with the Jets?
Yeah, he beat Cleveland, and I'm not shocked because Joe Flacco historically plays Cleveland very well. And so I wasn't shocked on that. And I'll tell you also that I was happy for Joe Flacco to win against Cleveland. Joe Flacco is not a bum quarterback. He just he's not as athletic. That's it. You know, it's been proven. I say enough Joe Flacco games to know that if you make him get off of his spot, if he's got to move around in the pocket and then replant to throw, then he's not as accurate.
And they did him wrong, too, bringing in Lamar Jackson. They did him wrong bringing in Lamar Jackson, and they kind of like a sign of disrespect, man, take you to the Super Bowl. Then you go out and get Lamar Jackson, and then, you know, holding his feet to the fire. I mean, you know, sports can be cruel sometimes.
But in defense of Joe Flacco, they gave him at the time the highest contract in the league, right? He had a $120 million contract, which – remember, Aaron Rodgers had just redid his deal, and Flacco actually outdid Aaron Rodgers, and at the time had the largest NFL contract at that time, it was $120 million, right? So they did pay him back for that. But I'll say this. I think Lamar Jackson was a generational talent. I wouldn't have passed up on him either.
He got picked last. Ravens. He was the last pick in the first round, so they damn near passed on him.
Right. Well, it just so happens the Ravens had the last pick. And so it was perfect because he kind of landed in our lap, right? We thought that he would already have been off the board. There was talk that they thought New England was going to take him ahead of us, I think at the 28th pick that year, but New England did not take him. So he was sitting there and it was like, we got to take a generational talent. And I'm glad we did. You know, I think he's an outstanding player. And you know, while I made my comments earlier, I always believe in team over one player. But I'm not saying he's not a great player. He definitely is that, you know. And he's young. So I think he has that on his side.
What the hell happened in Dallas, man? I mean, you got Joe Burrow, the other half of the Super Bowl last year. I mean, and they look terrible. What the hell is going on? I mean, I'm thinking that maybe Joe Burrow should have set out a little bit because the appendicitis stopped him from playing. I'm like, why? I wouldn't have played him myself until about fourth game in, maybe sixth game in. Why is he even in there?
Because let me tell you something. I was rooting for the Cowboys in that game because after the Ravens lost, I needed Cincinnati to take a loss. Plus, remember, in the NFL, typically if you start out 0-2, your chances of making the playoffs is like less than 10. I was hoping that they would hang an L on Cincinnati. So I was excited about that win. I was cheering for the Cowboys as if I was a Cowboys fan.
Yeah, I know you were. I keep forgetting.
Right. Also, I will be honest to say, is that Dallas has a team full of great players. I mean, they have individually, they are a very talented team. The key is individually, right? Their problem is horrible coaching. I think Pollard's a better running back than Zeke. And whenever they give Pollard the ball, great things happen. I think they don't do that enough. For example, Tony Pollard, he carried the ball 9 times for 43 yards. Zeke carried the ball 15 times for 53 yards. So Tony Pollard is just does better with the ball, right? And
he ain't getting paid, though. He ain't getting paid that check. And that's one thing about football. They looking at it like, well, hell, if I'm paying Zeke, then Zeke got to run the ball. I'm not going to pay Zeke to sit on the bench and Tony, even though Tony Pollard is, you know, probably maybe 10, 20 yards better a game, but I ain't paying him. I'm paying Zeke.
Yeah, which is an issue because you're paying a guy that's not delivering, you know. And so the argument
is...
Right, the argument is, do you trade him, though? You know.
Ain't nobody going to want to eat that bill. That's the problem. Ain't nobody going to want to eat that bill. It's just like... Who else is that? That's almost like with Baker Mayfield.
Do you do a deal where if you're Dallas, you say we'll still eat part of his contract if you just take him off our hands?
That's doable. That's doable. That's definitely doable. You're gonna spend more money keeping him anyway. So you might as well let somebody else take half of it. And then you eat half of it. You save yourself 50% of that contract by putting them in the market, and somebody will pick them up. Right now, I think Pittsburgh, you know, could take him because they running back. He's having a lot of the issues with his foot or something like that. I don't know. I can't remember how he did yesterday, but I think they lost yesterday, didn't they? Didn't Pittsburgh lose yesterday?
Yeah.
I forgot who they lost to, though. Who beat them?
That is a good question. I forgot who did they play, but they did lose.
That was the morning game. That was the morning game. And,
they lost. They Trubisky. Lost to New England.
Yeah, they lost. Yeah. Damn, they lost. They lost to McDonald's. And Trubisky didn't look good that game, so they probably already calling for Kenny Pickett by now.
They are. I saw it on social media on the East Coast. They are calling for Kenny Pickett. And you're right, Najee Harris did get hurt his foot. So, yeah, they have some issues in Pittsburgh, and they deserve it because they're
– Put y'all at the top of the division because Pittsburgh, they're 1-1. Cincinnati is 0-2.
And Cleveland is 1-1.
It's 1-1. So you guys are tied with Cleveland right now.
Yeah. Yeah, we're all tied at the top of the AFC North. That is correct.
And y'all got them what, game four?
I believe we don't see them. We got our next two opponents is New England and Buffalo. Yeah, we got New England and Buffalo. I don't think we see Pittsburgh. We don't see Pittsburgh until after our bye week. We get them in the last half.
No, I'm talking about the Browns. I'm talking about the Browns.
Oh, no. We don't have Cleveland until October 23rd, week 7.
Oh, God.
But I'm not worried about that because by the time we get to them, we will know what everybody is. Obviously, they still will have Jacoby. They won't have Deshaun Watson back. So,
Jacoby keep them going?
Jacoby's serviceable. I mean, you know, remember the Jets beat them, but Cleveland still scored 30 points. You know.
Did Carolina with Baker Mayfield play this weekend? Because I can't remember seeing them. Did they have a bye week? About Baker this weekend.
No, they played. They lost to the Giants.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Carolina lost to the Giants. Right. But Baker Mayfield did not throw any picks, though, so that was good. Right.
The Giants, I mean,
he looked
average. I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe Daniel Jones is finally got the right QB coach with this Brian Daboll. Maybe it's all coming together. Maybe it's clicking in his head now.
Yeah, it's possible.
And Saquon being back don't hurt nothing either. Keep forgetting Barkley's back, and that kid can run.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and he's been coming pretty hard. I'm curious because the Giants, they got a tough game this week coming. So I'm curious as to how well they're going to play because I've been looking at them defensively. They got the Cowboys Sunday night. That's the Sunday night game. So, you know, if they step up against the Cowboys and do something, maybe they're going to be competitive in the NFC East. You know, right now, I'm never impressed with any NFC East team, although Philly did look good yesterday. But we got to see. We got to see. Because the NFC East can be – you know, four teams fighting to be 7-9, now we're 17-game season. So you got four teams fighting to be 8-9, and the 1-8-9 team wins the division.
They go to the playoffs. Right. That's the only conference you can just be like bare minimum.
Just get the 500 and win one more game. If you 8-9 or 9-8, you win the division, right? I mean, only the NFC. So I'm not jumping up and down over them just yet.
Now, the Eagles did beat a quality Vikings team. Don't get me wrong. So, I mean, I got to kind of like, you know, I'll say
they
right
did,
now.
They did, but then they'll turn around and lay a goose egg to Atlanta, you know, or the Bears or something, right? So. When you look at them and think, right, you think, okay, you might have a chance, and they turn around and you're like, what? What were they doing? You know.
But who has separated themselves, like, right now? Is there anybody that's dominant? Who's out there in your opinion right now that's like, hell, I've separated myself from everybody? I guess a lot of buzz is around Buffalo, but let's just move them out the way. Besides Buffalo, who else has really separated themselves as a Super Bowl contender right now?
Kansas City?
Yeah.
Kansas City.
They all
outside of Buffalo, Kansas City.
Everybody else is kind of like middle of the road, right?
Yeah, in my opinion, I think you know, Kansas City is proven because, like you said, they don't have Tyreek Hill, and it almost looked like they don't need Tyreek Hill, right? And it's because they have a system, right? It's because they have a system. They just plug in the same little kind of shifty little wide receiver or pass guy, and they might make him run the same routes. And if he do it, then there you go, right?
Who they got now? Mecole Hardman. He took over that whole spot as slot receiver. And then they still got Travis Kelce, and I think they run the two tight end set. So they kind of like running that jumbo big tight end package, and then got Hardman up the middle. Then they got a good running back in Edwards Hilaire. So I mean, you're right. It's a system. It ain't the individual players. It's Andy Reid's system. Just it doesn't matter who's out here. It's going to work.
And they picked up Juju Smith-Schuster from the Steelers.
Yep. Forgot about him, right. Too. Yep, you're right. It's crazy, man. But real quick, man, before I let you get off of this here, we're going into our last 30 minutes, and we're going to my music mix. But before I let you get off here, I want your opinion on something. Because I was going to cancel my show, right? I sat back, and when I was in Louisiana, I was down in the bayou, and I was just sitting back looking at life. I was away from everything, just looking at life, and I was like, why am I doing this radio show? Did I do it just to prove to myself that I could come back and do this show? Or did I do it because I thought I could help somebody? And when it came down to it, 10% of it was I just wanted to prove to myself that I could get back on air and do it again for the second time, but just more sports-related versus hip-hop and R&B music. So, but then I also said, but it's not helping nobody. My viewership is down. My listeners is down. And it's like at the same time, the athletes don't understand, you know, that I'm trying to give them a voice. The ones that are still trying to make it, they're still actively playing, I'm giving you a voice to not only put yourself out there, but also to tell the ones that's coming behind you every year, you know, we're going into another NFL draft soon. And it's like I'm trying to, you know, let you be a voice to tell the other guys, this is what the journey is going to be like. But the reason why I came back, make a long story short, is because I was talking to a young man for about 45 minutes. I talked to the man about 45 minutes, and he was just like basically saying that he didn't know if he wanted to take the contract that I got him to play versus staying at home and training, waiting for a phone call. And so I was telling him, I said, man, you need to go back and play. Go ahead on and keep playing. But I looked at myself in the mirror, and I said, man, why do these kids even talk to you? Why are they talking to me? Why do they want to know what I think? And because I'm not an athlete, so I'm an executive. Why do they want to know what my opinion is on what they should do when there's really no right or wrong answer? So it's like, after I talked to the guy and I thought about that question, I said, well, the reason why they talk to you is because they trust you. They trust your opinion. They value what you think. And I said, that's probably why I should be still doing the show. So I cranked the show back up. It was like divine intervention when that happened, you know, just a premonition just said you have a value. It don't seem like it, but it's a value that you don't see. What you think about that before you get out of here?
So, number one, in business, you're going to have your ups and downs. You're going to have ups and downs in business. Companies, that's why companies make adjustments at the end of the quarter, right? How many times have you seen a report that said Walmart laid off so many thousand employees at the end of the third quarter because they didn't have a good quarter? So in business, you're going to have your ups and downs. It goes in cycles. But I don't think you should cancel your show because it's a passion of yours, and it's something that we thought of and discussed 25 years ago or more, right? At least 20 years ago, right? And so I think it's a great thing that you offer. And, you know, I think you should actually do more with your show. I think you should continue to be consistent in your dates that you do it. And I think you should keep pushing topics and going for it. I think it's great. You know, the other thing is, you know, there's a lot of markets out here, and there's a lot of people who have voices. There are people that are on TikTok and YouTube and Instagram and this and that. So there's a lot of ways for people to listen And I think that's it. Just getting yourself out there, but staying consistent. Just keep working on it. It's your craft. You learned how to do this in college, and you're still working on it. I think it's all great things. So you asking me, I think it was divine intervention to tell you, nah, keep going. You know, I think it's a great thing, right? As far as the folks that a friend the other day, and then my wife and I had a conversation about this exact same topic, and that is, you know why people are where they're at. Whenever you talk to someone and you look at them and you go, why? This person's smart. They're this, they're that, they're this, they're that. Why are they where they're at? If you just keep watching, they're going to show you why they are where they're at. They might have made a decision, or they make decisions, which is why they're where they're at. Like you talked about earlier in your interview, the opportunities. A lot of people pass up opportunities. Guess what the acronym POR is? Passing on opportunities repeatedly. When you constantly pass on opportunities repeatedly, you will end up poor.
Right? Yep.
Because opportunities is what gets you out of your rut. It gets you out of your hole. Always pass up. And they pass up an opportunity because they think the next thing coming is going to be better. Right? But a lot of times that opportunity is what got you, is going to get you to the next level. Just imagine, I never forget, I was in a doctor's office, and Katie Couric, she had left the Today Show, and she was doing like these little 30-second shorts on this little fledgling little cable show or whatever, and it was only showing in like doctor's offices. But guess what? She got paid to do that, and then that pushed her into something else, right? Like, you know, sometimes you have to keep doing, you know, you keep yourself out there. How many famous actors have you seen in B-movies? I mean, how many times have you seen Bruce Willis in a B-movie, right? He can't just live off of being in blockbuster movies. He knows that every movie ain't going to be a blockbuster. Some movies may not intended to be a blockbuster, but people fall in love with it. And it becomes a blockbuster. But either way, you got to keep working. So I see it is, you're doing great, man. I love the show. Keep working and, you know, and keep pushing. You're still having interviews. You're still playing music. You're still having, you know, you're still talking sports. Just keep going. You know, and the issue, the challenge isn't the show. The challenge is always discipline. Right? Because it takes work to be consistent. You know, that's what a lot of these young athletes that you be talking to and coaching don't understand, right? The hard part is being disciplined, is being consistent. Is, you know, the hard part is getting up every day, going out running, getting up every day doing your push-ups, getting up every day doing your sit-ups, getting up every day doing your drills, right? That's the hard part. Right. It may seem easy, but it isn't. It's not easy because you have to be consistent. It's when we're not consistent in our business that we struggle.
Yeah. Yeah. Man, I want to just say thank you for those kind words. But, hey, man, before you get out of here, man, tell everybody where they can find you and what you got going on in your business right now. When's your next webinar? What you're doing for vets, just kind of like tell everybody a little bit, you know, if they hear this episode, they can know how to make some money.
So speaking of the devil, I'm glad you bring it up. I am doing a seminar Saturday. We are doing a retirement account versus index universal life insurance seminar. You know, if you got a 401k, a TSP, a 403b, any of those kind of plans, you know, those plans are dependent upon the success of the stock market. And the stock market takes a loss, you take a loss. Whereas the index universal life policy, you get the gains of the stock market, but none of the losses. And so we're going to talk about that. We're also going to talk about if you had a retirement plan from an old job, how you can roll that over into something different. And so we're going to talk about rollovers as well. And yes, so I am in the financial services business. I am licensed in about, and I do have a team of agents that I manage. And how I can be reached for any of these listeners is through you, right? They can also reach me on my Twitter page at, I want to say my Twitter is DC357WFG, but either way, I can be reached through you. I want any listeners who are interested in reaching out to me to preferably go through you, because that way it will work for you as well, right? Because you touch a lot of young folks, you reach a lot of young folks, and success stories is what keeps you going and keep these young guys going. But a lot of these guys don't work. You know, I really love that story about Kurt Warner. I really loved his story. I watched it, his movie, and I really loved it because he just kept working. And notice he had an opportunity to play Arena League football, and he didn't want to do it, but that he was like, honestly, I don't want to do this, but this is what I know. And if I'm not working on my dream, what am I doing, right? And so he went out there, he did it. And in the movie, they show how that practice facility was the field, was literally a cornfield, right? But he practiced and got better, and it actually helped him. You know, when he looked back on it, he thought about it. He said, hey, man, learning how to get the ball out my hand quicker in the AFL and Arena Football League made me a better NFL quarterback.
And he was killing them when he came in the league.
Right. Because he got the ball out of his hand so quick. He had to do the three-step drop. He had to do the three-step drop, boom. So he had to read quicker. He had to release quicker. He had to have better footwork. All it did was make him better. Right?
I hear that story so many times. Guys come out the Arena League faster every time.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, right? Because the field is smaller, you can't hide. I remember Terrell Suggs, man. Terrell Suggs said, you know, you take a lot of breaks in between plays in the NFL. He's like, when they go to commercial and it's a 35-second play clock and somebody fall down, he was like, so we're not as conditioned as a lot of people think because we take a lot of breaks. And I'm like, exactly.
Yeah.
So just imagine on a smaller field, and there's no breaks because it's a smaller. You're a better athlete. You're in better shape.
You know? And it's quick. The Arena League is quick. A lot of guys can't handle it. A lot of the big guys up front, they can't handle it because when they get out there, it's like, man, the game was too fast for me. It was too fast. I'm used to being able to take a break, take some time off a little bit. But the Arena League is like that clock be moving.
See, that's my point. So that's why I said there are people out here who need you. And, you know, your contacts and, you know, there are folks that, you know, and understand, you know, sometimes, like you mentioned that one agent that, you know, was slow to give back. Just because somebody has a law degree don't mean they're great at other aspects of the business. They just know how to, they just studied the law and learned that real well, right? I mean, I have a law degree. Me and my buddies that I still went to law school with, we still talk all the time. And it's like, you know, everybody ain't as smart as you think they are just because they passed the test, you know. So, you're doing great to me. Keep pushing, my brother.
I appreciate you coming in, man. And, DC, and again, everybody, it's my man DC out of Maryland. If you need some help making some money, you know, well, you ain't got to be punching the clock. Definitely get with me on my direct messages on Twitter, at Ferran Sports on Twitter, and I'll put you in touch with DC. But DC, I'm going to let you get up out of here, man. I thank you for calling in to the show and constantly contributing when you can and everything like that. And we'll see. We'll touch base and see what these Ravens doing throughout the week.
Sure will. All right, my brother.
All right, man. Take it easy. Hello, and welcome to the Stogies and Beer Radio Show. This is your host, Ramiro Ferran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stogies and Beer Radio Show, broadcasting live from Chula Vista, California, WBEST. That's WBEST, Chula Vista, California. And you can find Stogies and Beer most Mondays through Thursdays, 8 a.m. Pacific to 10 a.m. Pacific time. And this is the official platform for the professional armchair quarterback to call in and boast his or her bold opinions about the sports that they love. This is an NFL talk show, so we talk a lot about football, but we also talk about Major League Baseball, NBA, and we can talk about anything that you might be interested in. Then that's most things, that's pretty much everything that's played on ESPN, Fox Sports 1, everything that's on TV, pie-eating contest, hot dog-eating contest, dog racing, camel racing, whatever you want to call in and talk about, whatever sport you love, you can call in and talk about it and teach us about it if we don't know about it. And if you don't know about what we're talking about, you can stay on here and we'll teach you about the sports that we talk about. I want to thank DC again for coming on, being a show contributor about all things NFL and NFL, NBA, and Major League Baseball. I want to thank my man Grant Ibe for coming in and telling his story. Grant Ibe, again, was our featured athlete, our featured street free agent athlete for the free agent athlete spotlight for today. He called in talking about his journey through high school, college, and currently pro, playing for the Indoor Football League Tucson Sugar Skulls playoff team. They just had a coaching change. I wish I could have talked to him about that. I think Coach Wooten moved on, and they got my man Coach Chin. He's there, and Coach Chin is actually the one that helped me get Grant out there to Tucson. But anyway, definitely, if you're out there listening to this episode, go back and hear Grant Ibe's interview. You'll learn a lot and everything like that. So, with that being said, you know, we're going to go ahead and close the show out, you know, and everything like that. And I'll set Black and Fade all in a minute, but I'm going to go into a little bit of quick music mix, and then we're going to go ahead and close the show out. We'll try to have some new tracks on the show for tomorrow. I'm going to be trying to switch out some stuff. I got a couple new tracks that I need to put in from a man, producer with Team Mash and Sound Design, Keith Clizart. I got about 10 more tracks that he donated that I need to upload this evening after I do some more work and everything like that. So bear with me. I'm just getting back off of vacation and stuff like that. But if you are artists out there, hip-hop artists that want to donate some music to the show, it's $100 to get into rotation and get an interview on the show. The rotation for your music will be in place for 30 days. And, you know, it's an opportunity. So if you're a street free agent athlete that's still looking for an opportunity to play, and you know you want to come on the show and talk about your journey, it's $100 to do a street free agent athlete spotlight of the day, and we'll send your interview out to different coaches and try to get you a contract. We have gotten two people signed or offered contracts off the show, just coming on the show doing an interview. So this thing can help. And by divine intervention, I'm back doing this because I had quit for a couple of days. And then some, like I said, as I was talking to one of my clients under management, I just went back and tried, you know, and looked at everything and said, I'm doing this because people trust my opinion. I'm doing this because it's actually helping somebody. So, even though I just want to encourage everybody out there through my experience, even though when it seems like what you're doing is not helping somebody, it probably really is. And so when people value your opinion, that's a good thing. And that's why you're doing it. That's why I'm doing what I'm doing, because at the end of the day, these athletes do value my opinion. They call me all the time and they want to know what I think. Unfortunately, there is no right or wrong answer to a decision as far as playing sports go. Like, do you go left or right? There's no right or wrong answer. Do you stay at home and train? Do you take a contract and wait on a big opportunity? You know, there's no right or wrong answer. But at the end of the day, they still value my opinion, and my opinion is always going to be being active and being on the field is always going to be better than sitting at home training by yourself. So with that being said, I'm going to go off into some music mix, and I'm going to come back and set Black and Fade all. But For those of you just tuning in, welcome to the Stogies and Beer Radio Show, the official platform for the professional armchair quarterback. And we are broadcasting live from Chula Vista, California, WBEST, Chula Vista, California. That's WBEST, Chula Vista, California. And this is, again, the Stogies and Beer Radio Show. And I am your host, Ramiro Ferran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stogies and Beer Radio Show. All right, we'll be back. Stogies and Beer, the official platform for the professional armchair quarterback. Stogies and Beer can be listened to most Mondays through Thursdays, 8 a.m. Pacific time to 10 a.m. Pacific time. Again, most Mondays through Thursdays, 8 a.m. Pacific time to 10 a.m. Pacific time. If you're an athlete looking to get an opportunity in professional sports and want to come on the show and do an interview and get your information out to the masses, to the coaches, the teams, feel free to call in. Telephone number 515-602-9687. If you're an artist or a producer that's trying to promote a new music project, including your beats to be featured on the show or your music to be featured on the show in rotation for 30 days with an interview, call in again, 515-602-9687. This has been your host, Ramiro Ferrand, a.k.a. The Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stogies and Beer Radio Show. I want everybody to stay safe out there and have a great day. Stay safe from monkeypox. Stay safe from COVID-19. Keep your mask on. Keep your hands sanitized. And we'll see you tomorrow, again, on the Stogies and Beer Radio Show, broadcasting live from Chula Vista, California, WBEST, this WBEST. Chula Vista, California. Again, I'm your host, Ramiro Ferrand, a.k.a. The Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning, and have a great day. Set black, fade off.